Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Really, when you say welcome to the house of the Lord, you should be welcoming yourself to yourself, because you are the house of the Lord. This is just where houses of the Lord come and meet. So you are like a little house in a house. Kind of funny. You've all ordered this awesome book yet? Awesome. It's on its way, making its way to you. The Lord said to the Israelites, to the priests, how they were to bless the people of Israel. Anybody remember? Come on. The Lord commanded the priests to bless the people of Israel a certain way. It's that verse you like in Numbers. May the Lord bless you, keep you, and cause the countenance of his face to shine upon you. Remember that bit now? See, the most incredible thing about Scripture is it continually reveals God's heart for you. So if that is how God wanted the priests to bless his people, it was upon God's heart that God's people should always receive God's blessing. That always the blessing of the Lord should be where? Upon you. That actually always the countenance of the face of the Lord should always shine upon you. That the rest of your life, you should have an existence where you feel continually like God is smiling upon you. Meaning, he never wanted to give any impression to you any day that is actually upset with you. What that means is God is actually really, really happy with you. And he wanted that truth to be imprinted, embedded, grafted, painted on, rubbed on, stamped on in the hearts of his people. And the most incredible thing is the way they priests would do it, they would not just quote the scripture like we did. Okay? You know, it's you and me that read the Bible. The rest of them sing the scriptures. Did you know that? Muslims don't read the Quran, they sing the Quran. Jews don't read the scripture, they sing the scriptures. So that means every priest was a very good singer at the end of the scripture, because they say, may the Lord bless you, keep you. Okay, we'll bring this one down a bit. The point is, you go home with the ringing melody. The Lord bless you, keep you. I may the countenance of his face shine upon you. See? So when you're going home, what is, it's just humming in you. Just like you'll go home humming. I guess I knew God wanted to do that until And then one time I came across a similar thing. It was a similar benediction in the New Testament. Those of you that came with us to Wellington a few while ago, I shared this. So that was more the Aaronic, Aaron the priest benediction. Now this is the New Testament similar benediction. This is God's heart for you. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're just going to read verse 14. This is amazing. Anybody's got it yet? 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. You have people have got Bibles? I'm going to find a Bible. Well, I'm selling Bibles too. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. What does you Passion Translation people say? Anybody who's got it? Okay, show me your hand if you got it. Oh, he's got it.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Now may the grace and joyous favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unambiguous love of God, and the precious communion that we share in the Holy Spirit be yours continually.
So this is Paul, who we know likes to talk too much. And he's talked 13 chapters worth of talking. Okay? That's a lot of talking. And after he's shared and he's brought up incredible revelations and teaching and guidelines to the church, he ends with this benediction. And it's a benediction and a prayer that reveals the Trinity. But not only does it reveal the Trinity, but it also sets some light about how you can interact with each member of the Trinity. That you were meant to have a relationship with all the three of them. You were meant to have a relationship with the Father. You were meant to have a relationship with the Son. You were meant to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he further draws this picture, how that looks like in action, and how that impacts or affects, or that's just how that graces your life. How sweet is that? Okay, now we're going to look at it one thing at a time. So the first thing he's saying is, may the grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Okay, so meaning in any given day in your life, hello there, or anybody see a picture on Facebook? We are having a baby. These guys are having a baby. How exciting is that? Yay! Wow. That deserves to pause the same one just there and just, yeah, so happy for you guys. Yay. I'm sure the baby will bring a lot of joy and happiness and pleasure, not only to your hearts, but to God's heart. And will be a blessing to the people and the people of the nations of the world. Amen. Amen. If you like to know what you are having, you can ask me. Later. So, do the same one or talk. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning every single day of your life should be marked by His grace. That's very good news. Meaning, it is so much in God's heart that there should never be a day when you do not experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that good? Okay. If you are like me, who's not always perfect most of the time, this should be good news. Really, really good news. Because it gives you hope that whatever day that come by your way, no matter how much stuff up you find yourself in, there is always room for grace for you. And grace is not just a girl across the road. And grace is not a one-time thing, but it is a daily thing. Here's the most amazing thing about church people. Do you know what is the most amazing? We church people, the most amazing thing is when we were sinners, we recognized grace. And we recognized by grace we are saved. By grace we are washed away. Our sins are washed away. But somehow along the way, we think we do not need grace anymore. So when we make mistakes, we continually walk in shame and condemnation. It's like, wait a minute. The same that grace that saves you, the same that, yeah, that deserves a drum roll. The same that grace that saved you is the same grace that will sustain you. Okay? So not only are you saved by grace, but you are also sustained by grace. That means you begin your walk in grace and you continue your walk in grace and you finish your walk in grace. Okay? So what that means too is those people that mess up, guess what? They were saved by grace, and the same that grace that saves them still is applicable today. It's still applicable when they fall. It's still applicable when they mess up. It's still applicable when they fall short. Okay? And where does this grace come from? Jesus. So what is the first thing Paul is praying that the Corinthians should experience? The amazing grace of the Master Jesus. And something incredible happens. When we experience the amazing grace, it brings us to the extravagant love of the Father. Okay, so what is the second thing Paul is praying that all the days of your life you should be experiencing? The extravagant love of the Father. That there should never be a day in your life where you do not experience His extravagant love. It's just not love. It is love that's so extravagant. Love is so huge. Love is so big. Love that's so shocking. It is shocking. What manner of love is this? That He should lay down His life for His friend. That extravagant love becomes your daily companion, becomes an experience you have every day. And when you thought that was enough, no, there's more. And he says, may the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Okay? So from the top, the number one thing is the amazing grace of Jesus. Gotta be a living reality in your everyday life. The number two thing is the extravagant love of the Father be overwhelmingly over you. The number three thing is the intimate friendship and communion of the Holy Spirit be a daily experience. All in all, your everyday life should be experiencing the Trinity. I mean, is that just good news or not? Now, let's look at it a little bit more closely. Anybody likes Greek? Yeah. So the word for grace is, what's that in Greece? In Greek? Charis. Yep. Which means what? A favor done without any expectation in return. Absolute freeness of loving kindness of God to man. He loves you freely. And he loves you so much that his love is so free to you that he never expects anything in return from you. Okay? So that means none of us ain't it. So when he's saying, may the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you or with you, what he's saying is, may his goodness that you do not deserve, even when you've been so bad, may his kindness rule the day in your life. So that means, what rules your day? His kindness, his goodness, his mercy, that it rules your day above what you did. Anybody understand that? So there is what you did, okay? And if life was about what we did, boy, we're in trouble. But what this means is, your life is not about what you did. Your life is about what he did. Now, how incredible is this? That means, by the end of the day, God is going to judge you based on what he did, not on what you did. So, that day is, it's the judgment day. Wow. You think God is talking about somebody else. And when he looks at you, perfect in every way, new creature, never done anything wrong, because as far as the heavens are from the earth, so high is his love for you. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. That's pretty good. Now, I think there is more. And it is this grace that is an atmosphere for miracles. When His grace is more real than anything else, I've said that a million times, then we are eligible. We are primed for more than the ordinary. We are primed for the supernatural. This is a little picture of grace for me. Anybody's got Psalm 103? This is a picture of grace. Psalm 103, verse 2. Come on, Nicole, hurry up. Okay, you want to read it for me, honey? Start from 2 to 13.
Yahweh, you are my soul's celebration. How could I ever forget the miracles of... Is that it? The miracles of kindness you've done for me. You kissed my heart with forgiveness in spite of all I've done. You healed me inside and out from every disease. You've rescued me from hell and saved my life. You've crowned me with love and mercy. You satisfy my every desire with good things. You've supercharged my life so that I soar again like a flying eagle in the sky. You're a God who makes things right, giving justice to the defenseless. You unveiled to Moses your plans and showed Israel's sons what you could do. Lord, you are so kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and so patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. You don't look at us only to find our faults, just so that you can hold a grudge against us. You may discipline us for our many sins, but never as much as we really deserve. Nor do you get even with us for what we've done. Higher than the highest heavens. That's how high your tender mercy extends. Greater is the grandeur of heaven above, is the greatness of your loyal love, towering over all who fear you and bow down before you. Farther than from a sunrise to a sunset, that's how far you've removed our guilt from us. The same way a loving father feels towards his children, that's but a sample of your tender feelings towards us, your beloved children who live in awe of you.
That's the picture of grace. And this is what Paul is saying, may this be your everyday experience. He says, praise the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. This is what is offered to you and me as an everyday experience. He loves you like a father. Why does he love you like a father? Because he is your father. Isn't that just the simple truth? He is your father. And as such, he loves you that way. Now, here's a few keys to experiencing grace. Anybody's got Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32? Yeah, you got it? Ephesians 4, 32. Read it to me. Here's the thing.
But instead, be kind and affectionate towards one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love.
Amen. How is that? Be kind and what? Affectionate to one another. Huh? Be a cuddly bunch. Be a mushy, mushy, squashy, kissy bunch of people. Oh, kissy, kissy, squashy, squashy. Hera? That is the other possible translation. That's it. This is the other translation. Be sweet to each other. That is literally Hebrew there. Again, that's what the verse means. Be sweet to each other. Feeling sweet today. And that's the key to experiencing grace. Okay, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Okay, what is the key to walking in grace? Ephesians 4:32, be sweet to one another. Okay? What is Ephesians 4:32? Yeah. It's that simple, isn't it? Be sweet. Marinate yourself in sugar and honey. What does Matthew 6:14 say? Matthew 6:14. But if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Looks like I'm in a row talking about forgiving people. Believe me, I do not mean to be talking about this, but that's how it's working out by the end of the day. Okay, so that was the first part. We're talking about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the second part? The love of God. 1 John. Find 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. Show me when you found it. There, brother.
And we write these things to you.
Yeah. Put it in there.
And we write these things to you that your joy may be full. Five? Yeah, five. And this is the message which we have heard from him, and we proclaim to you, God is light, and no darkness is in him, none. First John chapter 1, verse 4.
Awesome. Not exactly that's what we're looking for, but that sounds good too. I think we're looking for that one which says God is love. Which one is that? There you go. Every now and then I do that. Okay. The point is God is love. What does it say?
Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another. because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of Him.
Okay, so the heart and the point of what we are saying is, may the extravagant love of the Father be with you. That means every day of our lives we got to be experiencing that extravagant love of the Father. But the thing about the extravagant love of the Father, it is not just an experience we keep, but it is a reality that also flows through us. Yeah. So that means you and I, by the end of the day, not only do we experience His love, we carry His love. Just not like, not only do we experience His grace, but we also carry His grace. We receive His grace to give His grace. We receive His love to give His love. So we become recipient, but also dispensers of His grace and His love. How incredible is that? So what is love? That is the affection, the kindness, the benevolence. It is a tendency in love where we're always compelled to reach out in compassion, reach out to people in need, reach out to people in pain, because love is always all giving. Love is always all self-sacrificing. So if we're in that place where the grace and the love of the Lord is in us and over us, we become kind, compassionate, sweet, and people that are mostly pouring out. People that are always willing to lend a hand. Okay? It is a disposition to do good. Kindness, charitable, and this is the love that is accompanied by a desire to promote other people's joy and happiness. Not only are we pursuing our own happiness, but we're pursuing other people's happiness. How is that? Are you still here? So what is Paul's prayer? That the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So how often should you experience those things? Always. Continually, without ceasing. Okay? Now, here's if it's about experiencing the Father's love, that it's something that we carry. Anybody has got First Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Okay, we're talking, do the thing.
And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Amen. Okay, that over all these things, what should you put on? Love, meaning every day, responding and living and reacting in a loving manner is a choice we make. And this guy is painting a picture that like love was something like a jacket you wear. Okay, so I'm wearing this shirt, and there you can see how I look in this shirt. So if you put on love as your garment, how do you look in it? You look sweet. You look awesome. You look beautiful. So it's the daily choice and decisions we make to put on love. Sorry? Yeah, let's hear that.
It's
same verse, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity.
Yeah. That means we know people who are grown up by the way they carry themselves in love. Isn't that a good choice or decision we can all make? Okay. Last but not the least, what's the third one? The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Meaning that each one of us, we're born, we're created, we're called to walk in friendship with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is not just the power we call on when we need healing, but He's a true friend that is with us and by us. And what is the Greek word for communion? Koinonia, which is means the partnership, the participation, the intercourse, the benefaction, that you become one in a community with the Holy Spirit. Now, probably a word that I just skimmed on too quickly is the participation. That means this is huge just here. The Holy Spirit is always doing incredible stuff, things. He is inviting you to participate, take part, and be a partner with Him in the amazing stuff He does. Did you get that? That is one part of the equation. Okay, koinonia means the participation. So the invitation here, if you are to walk in koinonia for communion with the Holy Spirit, you are invited to take part and participate with Him in the stuff He does. Okay, that's one half. The other half is, He is willing to participate with you and take part in the things you do. Wow. Did you get that? Paul, what we're saying is, when you've got a little project and you're walking in intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He is willing to step out into His boat, into your boat, and take part and participate and be part of what you are doing, because that is communion. He becomes part of your community in communion, just like you've been invited to be part of His community. So His community and your community are in intercourse. Yeah, that word is used for other things, but literally, it is that strong. Does that make sense? And this is the level of interaction and partnership we've been invited to. Not only once off, but it becomes a daily living reality of your life. That the Holy Spirit wants you to participate with Him as much as He wants to participate with you. So the reason why we never see most of His interaction is we don't do anything. When we do, we see Him show up. When we don't, we feel like, well, He turns up in whatever we are doing. I shared when I was in Korea, He just amazed me how He just stepped up. The last day I had a plan that I was going to teach and then do some ministry at the end. And then at the beginning, classes just beginning, damn. I begin to notice he's doing stuff. He's doing things. So I had a choice. I could interrupt him and do what I've planned to do, or I can just put aside what I planned to do and participate with him. And probably this is where, as we become organized as church and we become very efficient in programs, that's where we miss it. Because the more efficient we are in our program, the less willing we are to participate with what he's doing. Because most often, he does not fit with the timetable and the calendar and the schedule we have. Does that make sense? So, what are we saying? The partnership, the participation, the social intercourse and interaction, the benefaction, which means in what he does, he has you on his list as one of the beneficiaries of the outcome of the process. Did anybody get that? There is a process happening, and in that process, he wants you to benefit. And this is why a little verse is up there in Psalm 103 says, forget not his benefits. Because in that communion, he's working for your benefaction. Just like you are working for his benefaction. So what does communion mean? Well, it means the presence. So that will mean may the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you always. It will also mean the fellowship. It means may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. It also means sharing together. Now, here's a cool thing about you sharing together with the Holy Spirit. He searches the mind of God. And when he searches the mind of God, he wants to share that with you. That gives you access to incredible revelation. This is the revelatory realm. That whenever we walk in intimacy with the Holy Spirit, there's always incredible revelation. But that's not all. He also searches your mind. And he reveals your mind to God. And that's in a place where you don't even need to pray, because before you open your mouth, your Heavenly Father knows your need. Did anybody catch that part? And the fourth one is what I said, participation with the Holy Spirit, literally. How cool is that? One of the funniest jokes or statements I heard was from Ivan, Isabel's husband. He was saying, Father! Is Jesus home? Can he come out to play? Father, can Jesus come out to play? There was an incredible revelation in the childlikeness expression. I mean, I get texts from Gian. Does Benjamin want to come out and play?
Is
Wow, we took it away from him because he was talking to Jian too much. Father, can Jesus come out to play? So, Inna, he's your father, he's your brother. And he's got every good reason any day wanting to come out and play. What if you're in serious trouble and you didn't know what to say to God? Probably Jesus coming out to play would be far better than having an intercession meeting. The sixth one was the friendship. One of the probably scriptures that is embedded in my heart when I think about friendship, I think about Job. He says, I remember when I was in the prime of my youth, when the intimate friendship of the Lord was over my house. Anybody remember that scripture? So these were one of the most incredible days in the lives of Job. And it's also a reflection that God has been wanting friendship with his people throughout all the ages. When the intimate friendship of God was over my house. Now, Job, in that statement, he brings it up another level higher. God is not after intimacy just with you, but he's after intimacy with your household. That means when God, intimate friendship, turned up over Job's tent, the kids would be, Daddy, God is here! Remember that part? When the anointing came, he's here, Daddy! When Job is out fixing whatever he fixes and the intimate friendship of the Lord comes over his house, the kids recognize that. The kids were a part of it. The whole household were a part of it. Not only do Job's kids recognize that, his servants recognize that. You getting this picture? The intimate friendship of the Lord was over my house. This is what Job is saying. So that means all the household servants, when the friendship of the Lord manifests, all the servants knew, he's here. He brings joy, refreshment, redemption to all. I heard stories about Catherine Kuhlman. Whenever she would go to the studios to record her broadcast, do you know that the presence of the Lord was so strong on her that it didn't matter where people were in the studio, whether they are in the basement, the moment she enters the studio, everybody says, that woman is here. Because the atmosphere in the whole studio changes regardless of where you were. You'll be in the bathroom, you know she's here. You're in the bus print, you know she's here. You're in some office somewhere, you know the woman is here. Because she carried the presence of God. And this is what we are being invited to. In intimate participation, where his kindness and his favor is not only over you, but over your household, over your effects. You see, this is why God calls you the temple, meaning you are meant to be a container of his presence. Okay, probably the right word there is you are the tabernacle. Not only do you contain his presence, but you can also be carried or carry the presence you carry from place to place. Anybody's getting that now? You're a mobile temple that carries the glory from place to place. Number seven, communion means the comradeship. You guys don't get it, the Russians do. Wow, they were the comrades. That your life would be in a collateral kind of a interaction with the Holy Spirit. That is in the place where He's willing to treat you like a nickel in the participation in the commission that He's called you to. What a God. Sounds blasphemous when He says willing to treat you like a nickel. He did worse than that. He called you His kid. Meaning, you are like your dad. Meaning, the last time somebody said that, he was crucified on the cross. You guys realize when they crucified Jesus is because he said he is the Son of God? Because according to the Pharisees, he was making himself equal to God. What does Psalm 8 say? Who is man that thou art so mindful of him? The Son of Man. Even goes worse. He said he made him a little lower than what? Angels. That's the wrong translation. That is, I understand that's because we cannot just compute that. You made him a little lower than Elohim. You made him a little lower than God, a little lower than yourself. So here's how the heavenly hierarchy works. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who are one, and then there is you, and then the angels. Did you know that's how it works? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you and angels and seraphims and Archangel Michaels and all that. It's too much to swallow, isn't it? All right, I'm finishing. I stop. Okay, let's just stand. Did you ever realize how God made things? More often we think angels are there and archangels and then us, but that's not what the Bible says. Father, just pray for each one of ourselves and us that even in through whatever we walk through, the interactions, the challenges, and the difficulties, Lord, always just keep us focused on who we are and on what you've done. Lord, I just pray for the manifestation in our everyday lives, that we may experience the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of the Father, and that your intimate friendship will be with us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you guys.